Well, again, welcome to Hoboken Grace. For those of you who are with us for the first time, or for those of you who are listening online, my name is Chris High, and I'm the teaching pastor here at Hoboken Grace, and we're excited to have you with us this morning. I wasn't able to be here last week. I heard John did an incredible job walking us through the first of our life apps. I was on vacation last week. It was incredible. I took a shower last week after the dog party was over, right before I had the incredible opportunity of marrying Ryan and Clara at a pier not too far from here. And then I took a shower this morning. That was it. It was incredible. In between time was just taken care of by being pulled behind a boat anywhere from 20 to 40 miles an hour through the water after falling off of skis or off of a tube, which to me is about as good as life gets. It was absolutely incredible. But I'm excited to be back today. I'm excited to be here because I love being here. I love being with this group of people. And when I'm not here on Sunday mornings, it drives me crazy. I'm telling you, I just feel like I'm missing something. And so I'm excited to be back. I'm excited to be here with you. But I'm also excited about what we're going to talk about today. Because what we're going to dive into this morning, I think, is one of the most crucial applications that we can begin to build into our lives if we're going to experience the mission that God has created us for. And it's kind of interesting. One of the reasons that we're walking through what we're walking through this summer is that we wanted the weeks to stand on their own. We wanted each week to kind of be an individual week where we're talking about something that we can begin to apply to our lives in such a way that it begins to change our lives almost immediately. But we wanted each week to kind of stand alone. But the problem is, as we got to this app or this application that we're going to talk about today, I began to realize that there was no way that we would be able to do it justice if we spent just one week on it. And at the same time, as I was looking at it, I realized that there's probably no way that we could skip it because it's so important. And so this is going to be the only app that is going to be 2 weeks long. And so we're going to begin it this week, and then we're going to kind of bring it to conclusion next week. This week, we're diving into this application of forgiveness. And it's something that I believe that if we're going to experience what we've been created for, if we're going to experience our purpose, if we're going to live out the mission that we've been given, we have got to get a hold of this thing called forgiveness. And like I said, this week as we were on vacation, we had rented a boat where my entire family loves being on the water, and so we decided that we were going to rent this boat. And whenever I get together with my dad and my sister Alicia, we basically think that we can do anything. We believe we can go anywhere. We believe that if something goes wrong, we can get ourselves out of anything. And so this week we decided that we were going to get every single minute that we could out of this boat. We were going to spend every second that we could on this boat on the water. Well, one night it was a little bit choppy and there was kind of a storm that was blowing in, and so we were like, man, what are we going to do? We're not going to be able to spend any time on the boat tonight. How is this going to work? But we're at the very top of Lake Michigan. And at the very top of Lake Michigan, the storms are really localized. And so they kind of come and go, and they're really small usually. And so we decided that what we were going to do in order to be able to get everything that we could out of this boat is that we were going to get the family on the boat, and we were going to take the boat, and we were going to begin to explore and find some place where it wasn't stormy. I don't know what we were thinking. You're on vacation, you just do things. And so we loaded the family on this boat. It's this big pontoon boat, not necessarily designed for skiing, but we figured out a way to make it work for skiing. And again, when we get together, we think we can do anything. And so we load the family on this boat, which it used to be that when we loaded my family on this boat, it was a small group of people, you know, 6-7 people. But we keep having kids. It's kind of a problem. And so we loaded everyone on this boat, and it's like 17 people. Another bad idea. And we take off, and we're like, all right, we'll be fine, because we've been taking this thing on some pretty decent waves, and we'll be good to go. So we start heading out. But the problem is, as I'm driving out, I'm realizing that the waves are a little bit bigger than what we thought. And all of a sudden, this thing just starts crashing down on these waves, and we're like, well, you know, maybe this is a little bit dangerous. And everyone on the boat's like, I don't know if this is going to work. But me and my dad and my sister are like, we'll be fine. We'll be fine. And I'm realizing that in order to keep the boat afloat, we need to go straight into the waves and then kind of cut back with the wave in order to get where we're trying to go. And so I'm trying to do this. But the further out we get, the more we realize, okay, this isn't going to work. The problem is we're further out. And so we decide that we're going to have to turn around and go back. Well, one of the things that I didn't realize that was happening is that as it got more and more dangerous, one of the things that we do as people when it gets dangerous is that we kind of huddle together. And so the more dangerous it got, the more people began to move to the front of the boat to kind of be together in one place, and people are hanging on to people. Like, it was pretty bad. So we're going, you know, wave to wave, but the problem is, as we start to come back, we're going with the waves. Well, I began to realize that if I went fast, too fast, I would overrun the wave, and the boat would slide down the wave like a surfer comes down a wave. That wasn't good, because then we would kind of hit, and we hit pretty hard, and so I'm trying to time it out, and I'm backing off, and trying to make sure I'm going right with the wave, and people are screaming, and we're going along, and then we reach this really big wave, and I'm like trying to back off real quick so that we don't, but I didn't make it. And at this point, almost everyone was in the front of the boat. So we come on this wave, and I'm trying to pull it back, but the weight of the people just takes us up, and we come flying down this wave. And we hit hard enough where it dented the front of the boat in. And we slam into this water. And it's not like a splash of water comes up over the boat. No, the boat starts going underwater. The water is coming up the front of the boat, right? And my sister Alexis, some of you know her, they were a part of planting the church here in Hoboken. She comes running back on the boat. Get the kids, grab the girls, throw them overboard. Which really shows the difference between her and my wife, Anna, because my wife sees her doing that. And Anna, I don't know what's running through her head. She's just laughing at my sister. Meanwhile, we're the one with the youngest kid on this boat, right? Because my four-month-old baby's on this boat. And so we crash down into this wave and this water. And fortunately, we were able to we're like, all right, we need to redistribute our weight. And we take the boat back. And finally, we make it back to shore. And everyone was able to get off the boat safely, and it was only just minor damage to the front of the boat where it got dented in there. But the thing that was really interesting about this process is that once we got everyone off the boat, we found out, because we realized we couldn't leave the boat out in the water, you know, even with the anchor that we had, it wasn't going to hold. So we knew we had to kind of get the boat to where we could take it onto land, which was a little ways away. But the thing that we found out is that after we got everyone off the boat, we were fine. And after we got everyone off the boat, when there was just two of us, and because we didn't want to risk anyone else's life, so it was just me and my dad trying to get this thing back to where we could get it out of the water. But what we found out is that after we offloaded the weight, we were fine. And that thing could just ride from wave to wave to wave because it was sitting right up on top. And for some of us, as we look at our lives and where God wants us to go, you know exactly where you want to go. And you're like, man, I can see what God has in store for me. And you see your way out of the storm, and you see your way to this dream that God is beginning to build in your life. But the truth is that your life is filled with weight. And you're carrying around things that happened a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. And it is going to destroy you if you don't begin to get rid of it. And you are never going to be able to operate at full capacity until you begin to get rid of this weight. And so as we looked at this app of forgiveness, I realized there is no way we can skip over this. Because if we're going to experience our purpose, we have got to begin to become experts at what it means to forgive. And I realize, even as I say that it's very difficult for us to talk about this. I realize that even as I say that, for some of you, you're cringing right now, because the truth is, it's easier to hold a grudge than it is to forgive. And maybe you don't look at it as a grudge. Maybe you just look at it, maybe it's more of a pain, and it's a hurt that you just cannot let go of. But the truth is, it's easier to hold on to that pain sometimes than it is to let it go. And maybe for some of you, it's not something that happened recently, so it's not something that's right on the surface. It's something that's buried deep. Maybe you've gotten really good at hiding this weight. But for far too many of us, there are relationships in our past that are determining how we operate in relationships now. And maybe it's the way that you were hurt by that boyfriend and the fact that you were cheated on, and so you can't trust now. Or maybe it's something that girlfriend, the way that you were rejected by that girl, that now makes it impossible for you to have confidence now. Or maybe it's the way that that partner in that startup business, maybe it's the way that they cheated you, that makes it impossible for you to work with others now. For far too many of us, we're carrying these weights, and they're changing the way our lives look today because of something that happened 5, 10 years ago. But the problem is, it's far too easy, or it's far more easy, to hang on to that hurt and that grudge than it is to let it go. And for some of us, it's been a part of our lives for so long that we don't even know what it would look like to let it go. And you find yourselves in situations where over and over and over again, you're playing out what happened. Where you find yourselves in situations when life gets quiet and you're lying in bed at the end of the night, and all of a sudden that pain comes back. Or you're inside of your current relationship and something happens that triggers this reminder of how you were hurt, and you realize that you're still a slave to what happened in your past. And for some of us, this becomes almost a companion to us, because we begin to look at, okay, how, and we begin to dream about how we would get back at this person if we just had the chance. And we begin to dream about how we would get, man, if I can be successful enough, and you work, and you are working and working and working in order to be successful enough to be able to go back home and to show that person that what they said about you is not true. For some of you, it has to do with something that your parents said to you. Maybe your dad said to you. And the reason that you're driven the way that you're driven is because you still hear those words in the back of your mind that you're not going to make it, that you're not good enough, that you don't measure up. And the decisions that you make are not because you believe that's where you want to go. Those decisions are the result of a slavery to something that happened years ago. And you dream of when you could step back into her life, or you dream of when you could step back into his life, and you could finally get them back. And some of us, I mean, we take this to extremes, and we, like, it, I don't know if this ever happened to you. It's happened to me. But where we begin to think through those conversations, and we have this daydream that we relive where, man, if I met them in a back alley, I'll tell you what. And you know that they're like 50 pounds heavier than you and like six inches taller than you, and they would whoop you. But in your mind, you're like, man, I would let them have it. For some of us, it's physical. For others of us, it's verbal. And you dream of, man, if I come in contact with her, I'll tell you what, I'm going to let her have it. And I'm going to unleash. And you have your speech. I don't know if it's written down, but you have it in your head. Right? And you're like, I'm going to deliver this line, and this line, and this line, and this line. And in your head, it works out like this beautiful speech where it's just one after another, you're just delivering zinger and zinger and zinger. And in your mind, all of your friends are there. You don't know how they all happen to be at the same place at the same time. But they're all there, right? And they're hearing it. And as you keep going, they get more and more excited and they're cheering you on and like, yeah, absolutely, you're right, get them. And finally, you know, the person is crying and it's great. And you deliver that final last line, right? Because you know the last line. Even if you mess up in the middle, you know you're going to deliver that last line. And so you just, boom. And everything goes quiet. And in slow motion, you just turn away. And everyone's like, yeah, cheering. And they're like devastated, right? And you can't say too much because you'll ruin it. So just like, that's how I roll. And there's a sunset in front of you, and you just walk off. And we dream about this, and we laugh about it, but the truth is, for a lot of us, we know exactly what that's like. And there are hurts, and there are experiences in our past that haunt us. And if we don't learn how to let go of them, they will destroy us. If we don't learn how to get rid of those weights, they will sink us. And so what I want to talk about for the next 2 weeks is this idea of forgiveness. But I want to talk about it maybe a little bit different than what you've heard it before. Because I think a lot of us have heard this idea that you should forgive. As a matter of fact, the passage that I want to take you to this morning is probably a passage that many of you have heard before. Even if you haven't been in church, you've probably heard this passage before or heard this idea before. It's one of those passages that people who are on TV like to talk about a lot when it comes to this idea of forgiveness. In Matthew chapter 18, we find a conversation between Peter and Jesus about this idea of forgiveness. And Peter thinks that he's going to win some brownie points in this conversation. And so Jesus is talking about restoring relationships and what forgiveness looks like. And Peter kind of jumps into this conversation and he says something to him, thinking that, man, this is going to get me in with him. We're going to be tight after I say this. So Matthew chapter 18, we're going to pick it up in verse 21. It says, then Peter came to him and asked, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who sins against me? Seven times? And he thinks, man, I'm going to earn some brownie points with this because not only am I going to forgive them once, not only am I going to forgive them twice, but I'm going to go above and beyond because Jesus, he seems to be pretty big on this idea of forgiveness. So should I forgive them seven times? He's quite shocked when Jesus responds to him because in verse 22, Jesus says, no, not seven times. Jesus replied, but 70 times seven. Now, I realize for some of you right now, you're running the math. You're like, And you're comparing it to your roommate. And you're like, I think I'm done. I'm pretty sure that I've reached my max. I've lived that out. But that's not the point. And when Jesus answers him, he's not giving him a number. What he's saying to him is that it's indefinite. You don't count. It's not about how many times have they hurt you. We forgive. That's what we do. And for a lot of us, and I would guess most of you here, you've heard that before, that you should forgive. The problem, however, is that we take our culture's definition of forgiveness and we put it into this passage. And so we hear Jesus say, you should forgive. And we think that that means to forgive the way that our culture defines forgiveness today. And if you were to look up forgiveness in the dictionary today, what it means to forgive, you would find a definition that goes something like changing the way that you feel about an offense or hurt from your past. And so culturally, when we talk about this idea of forgiveness, and I say, listen, you need to forgive that person, what we're saying is you need to change the way that you feel about what that person did to you. Now, this is really, really frustrating. And growing up, as I sat in situations exactly like what you're sitting in today, and as I heard conversations and messages on this idea of forgiveness over and over again, I heard people stand up in front of me and say, listen, Jesus says you need to forgive. And so in my mind, what I heard them say is that Jesus says you need to change the way you feel about how you've been hurt. But the problem is, that's where it ended. And so I walked out of those conversations saying, how in the world do I do that? And I found myself time after time after time in situations where I'd been hurt, trying to change the way that I felt about that situation, not having any clue how to do that. And one of the big problems we have with this idea of forgiveness is that we take the way that culture defines forgiveness and we put that into the Bible, when the truth is, it's so far from what the Bible is talking about that I'm not sure we should even use the same word. Because when Jesus tells you to forgive, he's not telling you that you need to work really hard to change the way that you feel about how you've been hurt. And the great thing about your Heavenly Father is that he doesn't come to you and say, you need to forgive, and leave it with at that. He doesn't. He comes to you and says, you need to forgive. And as you read through this book over and over and over again, he's teaching you how to do that. Because for him, it's a lot more than just changing the way you feel. And so even in this passage, when you look at what he says right after he says this to Peter, you realize that it's about a lot more than how you feel about something. Because in the verses immediately following this instruction to forgive, he begins to tell a story. It's found in chapter 18, verse 21. Or verse 23, it says, therefore, the kingdom can be compared to a king who decides to bring his accounts up to date with his servants who had borrowed money from him. He says, listen, I want to talk to you about this idea of forgiveness. You need to forgive. Let me show you what that's like. And he begins to tell a story about this king. And this king gathers his servants together, and this king is owed a large amount of money from his servants. And so he decides that he's going to bring his accounts up to date. And so he brings them before them. And there's one in particular who owes him an incredible amount of money. Verse 24 says, in the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. He couldn't pay, so his master ordered that he be sold along with his wife and his children and everything he owned to pay the debt. But the man fell down before his master and begged him, please be patient with me and I will repay it. Then his master was filled with pity for him and he released him and forgave his debt. You see, for Jesus Christ, this was about a lot more than just feeling different about how you'd been hurt. He says, no. Forgiveness is more like a transaction. And so he begins to tell a story. He tells a story about this king who's owed in a tremendous debt. And he said, forgiveness is like you being owed a tremendous debt. And notice in the story, the king doesn't say to his servant, okay, I'm going to give you some more time to pay me back. No, he says, okay, I'm going to release you. And not only am I going to release you, I realize there's no way you're going to pay me back. I'm going to cancel that debt. You don't owe me any more. And the story is a really intriguing story, and we don't have time to be able to work through the whole parable today. I encourage you to go back and read it, because as you read through it, you hear that this servant then leaves, and rather than forgiving those who owe him money, he actually sells them into slavery. And so the king comes back and says, "What is wrong with you? Why would you not forgive this person after I've forgiven you?" And the whole story is about how God in your life, he's stepping into your life and saying, listen, you need to forgive the way that I've forgiven you. As a matter of fact, the last line of this story is where Jesus says, listen, if you don't forgive the people around you, then your Father is not going to forgive you. And as you're a part of Hoboken Grace for an extended period of time, you're going to hear us say over and over and over again that we love because we've been loved. We forgive because we've been forgiven. And in your life, God wants you to begin to forgive, but he doesn't want you to change the way that you feel about a past hurt. He wants you to begin to think about this in terms of a transaction. You were hurt. And the truth is that you are owed. Now, in our culture, we don't like to think about it this way because we don't want to take responsibility for what we've done. But the truth is, when God looks at your life and someone hurts you, God believes and God teaches that you are owed. That person owes for what they've done. And God doesn't look at what happens in your life and just make light of it. God doesn't look at what happens in your life and the way that you're hurt and just say, well, you know what? Feel better about it. It's not that big a deal. No, as a matter of fact, it's a lot bigger deal to God than it is to you. And as upset as you are about how you were hurt, I guarantee you he's more upset about it. Because one of the most amazing things about God in your life and the relationship that you have with him is that he promises you that you will never be hurt without that person paying for what they've done. As a matter of fact, this is one of the first steps in this process of forgiveness, is understanding that this is a transaction, that there is actually a debt that needs to be paid when you're hurt. In Romans chapter 12, Paul talks to us about this. I'm going to pick it up in verse 17. It says, never pay back evil with more evil. In other words, listen, you don't take revenge on the people around you. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Well, how do I do that? How do I live in peace with everyone? It says, dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge, I will pay them back, says the Lord. You see, for Paul, forgiveness didn't begin by saying, well, you know what, I'm going to feel better about this. Forgiveness doesn't begin by making light of what happened. You know what, it's not that big a deal. Yes, it is a big deal. It's a big deal when people hurt you. It's a big deal when we hurt people. It's a big deal to us, but it's a bigger deal to God, because God sees it for what it is, and God cannot stand the fact that you're living in slavery to something that happened years ago. God cannot stand to watch his children hurt his children. And so for Paul, this idea of forgiveness doesn't begin by saying, well, it's not a big deal. This idea of forgiveness begins by trusting God that he's going to be the one who settles the debt. Understanding that this idea of forgiveness is about a transaction, and that in your life, you're not the one who has to settle the transaction. He's going to do that for you. And if we're going to experience this forgiveness that God is calling us to, not the cultural forgiveness, real forgiveness. If you're going to experience the freedom of being able to live your life now without being influenced by what happened then, it begins right here. That you trust him, that he's the one who settles your debts. And you trust him that he cares about you more than you care about yourself. And as you look at that girlfriend who cheated on you, you don't look at that and say, well, you know what? I just need to get over that. No. You look at that and you say, okay, God, I'm trusting you to take care of that. I'm trusting you that you are my Father, and that when you say you're going to take care of it, you will. And when you say that it will be paid for, it will be. You see this in the life of David over and over and over and over again, where David comes to this and says, this is one of the things that David celebrates about God more than anything else throughout the Psalms, is that God is his protector, that God is the one who's going to settle his accounts. He loves this about God. And I'm telling you, if you're going to learn God's idea of forgiveness, you have got to begin to love this about God as well. You are his child. He is not going to let it go unpaid. And that person who hurt you will either pay for it themselves, or they will accept Jesus as their replacement. And Jesus Christ will pay for that. But make no exception. It will be paid for. And in your journey, as you look at these things that are weighing you down, as you look back at these hurts, and you look back at the ways in which you were done wrong, if you're going to find freedom, if you're going to be able to live out what we find in Matthew 18, then you have to understand that it begins with trusting him to take care of it. It begins with celebrating God's justice. And for some of you, you're here today, and you've been carrying some things for a very, very long time. And it's time for you to trust him. It's time for you to begin the process of healing. It's time to begin the process of forgiveness. And it starts right here. And you need to go to God, and you need to say to him, okay, I see what you have promised me in Romans 12, and I trust you to take care of my accounts. And it's no longer going to be between me and him. It's no longer going to be between me and her. It's going to be between you and her, and you and him. I'm letting it go. And my challenge to you this week is to begin to have that conversation with God. And to begin to work through, do you actually believe that he loves you like this? Will you trust him to be your provider? Will you trust him to be your protector? And will you give him that weight? It's the first step in this process of forgiveness. You do not have to be a slave to these things anymore. Just trust him. Will you pray with me? Father, as we walk through this today, I realize that for so many of us, this is deeply, deeply painful. And we don't even want to think back about those things. We don't want to uncover these things that if we're honest with ourselves, are shaping who we are today. But Father, you've told us that you are our Father, and that we can give these things to you, and we can give these accounts to you, and that you will make sure that they're paid for. Father, I pray for every single person here that they would begin this conversation with you this week. And they begin to give you these debts that they're owed. And that they'd begin this journey to freedom. And as they do, may their understanding of what you've done for them and how you've taken their place begin to grow and grow and grow. In Jesus' name, amen.